Hello, hello. It's Friday, April 26th, and tonight the Crusaders take on the Rebels with the Chiefs taking on the Waratahs. Can the Saders get another win in the bag? Ay, ay, ay. Time will tell. Kia ora. This is Newsable. I'm Imogen, and this is what's worth talking about. New Zealand citizens are jumping ship and moving overseas at record rates. Should we be worried? We meet one Kiwi who's recently left for Aussie and ask an expert what the impacts could be. Can the Wellington Phoenix hold on to their top of the table spot before heading into the playoffs? And we're finding out what K-pop flavoured Coca-Cola tastes like. All that's coming up in a moment here on Newsable. Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support. We are losing New Zealand citizens at record rates. The latest stats released are for the year up to February 2024, and they show nearly 48,000 New Zealanders left the country last year, a new high. One of those who have fled these shores for Australia in the last couple of months is Luke Hempelman, who is with us now. Kia ora, or good day. What would you prefer?
We'll go kia ora. It's nice to be like using a bit of Tadeo now, being back at the moment as well. So feeling it, it's nice.
Luke, why did you make the decision to jump across the ditch?
I think I can like wax lyrical about all sorts of things, about being bored, about living in Wellington and wanting those things. But I think the biggest one that it really came down to for me was salary. I'd been in the same job in Wellington for about 3 years and it had some progression, but I was looking at those salaries across the ditch and knew that I was going to be upping my salary by about 15-20k.
Wow.
Without kind of upping the additional responsibilities. You know, it's a very kind of on par situation, and I think I'm just on Seek Australia every day looking, and I thought I actually just have to do this, you know, I have to honor that for myself and have gone and have made that salary jump now, which is really nice for the bank account.
Do you mind telling me what industry you work in?
So I work in communications. So I'm an account manager for a PR firm, and we work across architecture and design clients specifically.
And the jobs were there when you were looking for them?
Yeah. I had worked kind of quasi-public sector in New Zealand, and so thought maybe I could jump straight into public sector work in Australia as well. Did not have luck. Obviously, Australians like to hire Australians into their own public sector, so made the shift to private sector and instantly started having more luck. So I think a bit of naivety there in terms of thinking I could just slot straight into something instantly. It all worked out in the end.
Has the move lived up to your expectations?
It has. I'm in Melbourne and it's a beautiful city. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I think it had those kind of cultural things that I love and miss about Wellington, you know, with sort of the art scene and that kind of grungy vibe to it in tandem with beautiful heritage and gorgeous architecture. So it kind of just feels like Wellington on a bigger scale, which is exactly what I was after.
And quality of life?
Quality of life so far is good. I have the sort of privilege at the moment of staying with family. So we're living pretty much rent free as well as making more money. So everything's kind of working out that way. But in terms of like social networks, making friends through work, and I know a lot of friends from New Zealand who have also moved over. So I feel like I have as many New Zealand friends living in Australia as I do Australian these days.
Can you see yourself coming back to New Zealand to live, or is this it now?
I don't know. And I think when I imagine myself as a wise old man with grandchildren and great grandchildren, all those things, it's always in New Zealand. You know, I always imagine having kids and raising a family here. But I think a big part of that is it's just what you've grown up with yourself, right? So it's sort of that idea of you want for your kids what you had growing up, if that was good. So that's back of mind, but there's no end date, right? Like I have some friends who have come over and said like, oh, it's going to be 2 years. And now they're like, oh, it's going to be 4 years, you know? So I think you just keep pushing that date out. No end in sight at this stage for sure.
Thank you. Kiwi living in Aussie, who still has a small place in his heart for Wellington. So thank you for that, Luke Hempelman. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Emma. You too.
So what does this mean for our country if we're losing so many? Here to tell us is distinguished professor and sociologist Paul Spoonley, who has long researched demographic trends. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Imogen.
How bad is this, or is it not bad at all?
No, it is bad. Every year over the last 30 years, we've seen a net outflow of New Zealanders. The only time that we saw a net inflow was during COVID. And the previous major spike was in 2013 as we emerged from the global financial crisis. This has exceeded that. So it appears that as we emerge from these crises that we experience from time to time, there is a net outflow, and at the numbers you have indicated, it is very high.
And since December, of course, those public service cutbacks have been biting and the economy has continued to falter. Would your guess be that the numbers could be even higher?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are a number of things in play here. One is that people who would normally go overseas for OE or for work didn't during COVID. I think there's the attraction of the Australian economy, and we've got people in various sectors like health or police who are actively trying to recruit New Zealanders. And then, of course, I think there's some delay because people were looking, well, are we going to get a new government? Are things going to change? And, of course, we're going to see a softening labour market. We're going to see challenges in terms of costs locally. And I think that's going to encourage people to look overseas. So the big factor here is that there are people who are migrants who come to New Zealand and leave again. But the major, major concern here is skilled New Zealanders leaving at this particular point.
And we know this can be a younger group leaving too, possibly more mobile. Are we likely to be losing our best and brightest? Is this the, in quotation marks, the brain drain?
Yes, it's just the brain drain. I always use brain exchange because what we tend to do is lose skilled New Zealanders and then attract skilled migrants. But if we're focusing on New Zealanders, yes, it's definitely a brain drain. And New Zealand has the second highest diaspora, so people living overseas, who are skilled in the OECD. Ireland is top, we're number two. And it's just a shame that we're seeing particularly young New Zealanders, particularly graduates who are leaving to go to another country. And yes, they might come back, but many don't.
Should nations be trying to retain people born and educated in their own countries?
Yes, and I think there's a number of things here. We've seen it recently with the police offer that we're really not being very competitive around work conditions and pay conditions. So that applies particularly to the bits of the economy that the government can control. So I suspect we're going to see, you know, the number of police leaving for Australia is actually quite modest at this point. But given what's currently happening, then I can envisage that going up again. But we also need to do, and the minister is doing this, is we need to make sure that we don't have a New Zealander who could fill that position before we go overseas. What we need to do is invest in our own New Zealanders and make sure that they're getting those jobs so that we don't need to get so many migrants.
You mentioned when people become unemployed, they look overseas for employment. I mean, if we simply 3,000 odd public servants, highly skilled people, are losing their jobs in front of the public, do you imagine that for them the most attractive thing will be to leave the country?
Yes, I think it's going to be very difficult for those people in the public service who lose their jobs because, of course, they very often have skills that are particular to that particular job. And where do they get employment? What do they do? Of course, they will look overseas because internationally, as countries age, particularly countries in Europe, and of course, Australia's on the prowl at the moment looking for people. As those countries age, there are going to be shortages of skilled people. And it's those skilled people that we see going.
Distinguished Professor and Sociologist Paul Spoonley, always great to pick your brain, and thank you for letting us pick your brain on the brain drain.
Thank you.
If you don't have time to read the in-depth stories, or you just prefer to listen instead, The Long Read From Stuff is the podcast for you. Each week we showcase one of our excellent pieces of journalism, telling important or entertaining stories from the world of crime, sport, history, culture and more. You also get to hear from the journalists themselves about how they uncovered the story and how it came to life. So for your weekly dose of long-form journalism, beautifully read, subscribe to The Long Read From Stuff wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. This topic is, of course, ripe for an Instagram poll. You already know it. Are you considering a move overseas? Yes or no? Head to the NZ Stuff Instagram page to get your answers in. And if you've already moved overseas or are about to, email us your story and your reasons, newsable@stuff.co.nz. After 3 years of either placing sixth or seventh in the A-League men's, the Welly Phoenix are top of the table ahead of their final match tomorrow before the playoffs begin. They're up against Southwest Sydney's MacArthur FC, who are in fourth place, a game that's promising to be an epic showdown. One person who's absolutely fizzing, aside from me, who's heading along to watch on Saturday night for my first ever time seeing the Knicks play, is Dale Warburton, a staunch Knicks fan who is part of the Yellow Fever Supporters Club. Kia ora, Dale. Welcome to Newsable.
Yeah, great to be here.
What a season and a half, am I right? You must be absolutely on top of the world.
Yeah, it's been 16 years of the ups and downs, lots of pains. But yeah, this season has been unlike any other. It's notably fairly unexpected. And as a pessimist, every week expecting the other team to fall over and they just keep chugging along, and you know, I would never expect to be on the last week have a chance of lifting a trophy at home.
It's so exciting. What's the mood going into this weekend's final match before the playoffs?
Probably a mixture of excitement and nervousness. Yeah, it's not a position the team or fans have been in before, and you know, football's a funny game. You know, lots of unexpected things can happen. But yeah, it's very much an exciting moment for the club and fan base.
What's kept you supporting the Knicks for all these years?
It's part of fandom is riding those waves because, you know, there's lots of teams around the world who haven't won anything for 100 years. You know, we're 16 years, so we probably do something and it would be nice if it happened. So, you know, sometimes you got to ride those downward years sometimes to really enjoy the times where it's going well.
Are people in the capital getting behind the Phoenix? Are they getting the support they need and deserve?
Oh, I mean, it's always been nice to have more. I think it's always a challenge. Yeah, I think, you know, it's well publicised that, you know, capital's going through some really tumultuous times. And so perhaps the entertainment dollars is not there for a lot of people. But, you know, everyone loves a winner. So I wouldn't expect this season's the last game to be a pretty good crowd. And yeah, once we get into the finals games where, I think everyone really, really comes out for those games. You know, we saw that, you know, 2010 when the Phoenix first made the playoffs and yes, selling out Sky Stadium, you know, 1 week and there was a 25,000 the week before. People do come out for an event and it'll certainly be that in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well, Dale Warburton from Yellow Fever, the Knicks Supporters Club, up the Knicks, and here's to a win on Saturday. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely fingers crossed. Thank you.
You may or may not remember this, but last year, friend of Newsable and Infometrics chief economist, I always struggle saying Infometrics, I'm sure you don't have that problem, Brad Olson, he was overseas and found a Coca-Cola flavour that had been made by AI. He did a Newsable solid and brought a bottle home for me to try. It wasn't nice. We aren't missing out by not having it on our shelves here, don't you worry. But guess what? Brad Olson's only gone and found me another odd Coca-Cola flavour on his recent travels to Japan, and he's here now for another taste test-a-rooney. Welcome back home, first of all.
Thank you. It's good to be back, but it was nice to travel again. And as normal, you know, I was keeping my eye out on what fun and funky things can I find overseas. And as the Newsable resident Coca-Cola connoisseur and correspondent, I found another one. This is a K-Wave limited edition flavour. There's a big K-pop craze across the world going on. You know, people love it. But because of it, they've made a new Coca-Cola flavour. Now, last time, you're right, it was awful. The AI version was just pure yuck. This is a fruity fantasy flavoured. So we'll give that a try. Listen to the happiness as we open it.
Oh yes.
Oh, that was
and
a good
this
crack.
Is the normal Coke. We've got a normal Coke. Oh, that was a good one.
That was a standard Coca-Cola release, wasn't it?
Okay. Right, we'll do the old taste.
It's like ASMR.
Fill them up, yeah.
Oh, that's a great sound.
I'll go regular Coke just to get a reminder. All right.
Salud. Cheers.
Or what do they say? Kanpai in Japan.
Good and standard.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of caffeine for you there.
Oh, it's your mouth, doesn't it? All right. Oh, I made the mistake of smelling it.
It smells very fruity, doesn't it?
Oh, it smells like those yucky banana lollies, like the yucky marshmallow ones.
Nah, it smells better than that.
No. All right.
Give it a go.
Cheers.
That's better than AI.
It's way better than AI. It tastes like one that we've had before, though.
Almost like a bubbly gum sort of flavour.
It kind of tastes like the lemon one.
Yeah,
lemon Diet Coke.
Remember at the moment as well, you've got, in New Zealand at least, you can get, I think, raspberry and lime are the two sort of like fruity flavours. Mm. So this is a yes. This is a wood drink.
Only in
maybe
that
you wouldn't buy.
Yeah, wood drink, but the bar was set so low
yeah.
that I don't know if we can quite confidently give any, you know,
anything
hot
better?
Takes on it.
Yeah, okay. So this is good though. So we've got AI Coke, which was awful and bad. We've got K-Wave Coke, which is standard good enough.
Yeah.
Now we need a third one to figure out, like, sort of where the middle. So, look, if anyone out there knows of a fun, cool, funky Coca-Cola flavour in another part of the world, let me know and I will see if I can add it to the
Are you travelling anywhere soon?
Well, it depends on if I get any good Coke recommendations, doesn't it?
How do you just like me travel, Brad? It depends on Coke flavours. Brad Olson, Infometrics Chief Economist and friend of Newsable, thank you so much for bringing us that drink to taste test. That is Newsable for today. I'm Imogen Wells. Have a lovely weekend. And hey, I'm away next week, but the brilliant Jess and Aaron will be steering the ship while I'm off. Enjoy, and we will speak when I'm back. This pod took time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Do you want another very broad question? I've got a very broad question today.
Go on then.
What do you know about sports?
Up the Wazz! Go the Black Caps. And don't forget Premier League football.
Oh, you do love a bit of Premier League footy,
do.
Don't you? What team is it that you support again?
Oh, the current champions, Manchester City.
I think they're pronounced Arsenal. It's pronounced Arsenal.
But you know what's good about football?
Yeah, what?
They don't regulate soccer night.
I'm sorry? There's a sport that regulates sock height?
Indeed there is, and it's cycling.
That's very strange. Why on earth do they regulate it?
Well, I know, but if you want to find out, you'll have to listen to the Big Stuff Quiz, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's a cliffhanger indeed. The Big Stuff Quiz is brought to you by Melbourne Every Bit Different.